I love sunsets. It doesn't matter where I see them. It could be at the beach while standing in the sand, hearing the sound of waves breaking on the shore. Or it could be in the mountains, watching the sun drop behind an adjacent mountain peak. Or it might be when I'm standing in an open field, surrounded by grass or crops or fields of wildflowers that grow not because someone planted them, but because that was where they were supposed to grow. And so they did. With wild abandon, they grew, not caring if anyone saw them. And they burst forth in color because color was what was within them. The sky looks as though God had dipped a paintbrush in an orangey red or purple colors of divine paint cans and flung those streaks of color, bright colors, across the sky. And while I stand there and watch the descending sun sink lower and lower below the horizon, I think about how big are the sun and the sky and the God who put them all in their places. And then I think about how small I am. I'm not important or prominent or significant in any meaningful way. I wonder, who am I? I wonder if Moses was enjoying the scenery as he wandered around on the mountain, following his father-in-law's sheep. I wonder if he bothered to look up and at the majestic mountain, God's mountain, pressing upward into the cloud-filled sky. Did he see the wind-carved sandstone in the rocks that were around him? Or was he more worried about what he might step in as he's made his way up the mountain? Not quite as spry as the sheep that he was following. Or was he wondering, who am I? And then he saw the burning bush. It got his attention because it kept burning and was not consumed by the flames. You know, we learn quickly, either in school or in life, that fires need fuel and they need oxygen and a spark to get them started. But the fuel burns up, and so the fire will go out because of a lack of fuel. But without any additional fuel, this bush kept burning. So Moses was curious, and he went over to see what was going on, to get a closer look. And as he approached the bush, it talked to him, calling out his name. Now, I don't know about you, but at that point, I probably would have been scared. And then the voice of God tells him to remove his sandals, for he is standing on holy ground. And God tells Moses who he is. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hides his face because he is afraid to look at God. Or maybe he thought if he covered his eyes, God wouldn't be able to see him. You know, like when you play peekaboo with a toddler. And God tells Moses that he has seen the misery of his people in Egypt. He's heard their cries, and he has come to rescue them. He'd lead them out of Egypt to a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now that sounds pretty wonderful, doesn't it? Miraculously, God has seen and heard and now comes to save his people. And then the shoe drops. God tells Moses that he is sending him, Moses, to Pharaoh to bring his people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And Moses responds with the same question that many of us probably would have had. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Moses is suffering an identity crisis. He knows that he's a wanted man in Egypt, for he had killed an Egyptian overseer who was beating an Israelite. And so he was afraid. He's also afraid of the task that God has given him. He feels insignificant, too little for such a big task, not important enough to command the attention of either Pharaoh or the Israelites. We've all had those thoughts, haven't we? We tell ourselves we're not important, we're not prominent or significant enough to count for anything, or to do something that's beyond ourselves. God's answer to Moses is short. I will be with you. I will give you a sign when you come out of Egypt with my people. When Moses asked God what he was to tell the Israelites, if they asked the name of the one who had sent him, I am who I am, was the answer Moses was to give them. Now you may feel the same way when confronted by a challenge, some situation that threatens you in one way or another. The way the world seems today, it'd be easier just to cover our eyes or ears and play peekaboo when presented the opportunity to share of ourselves, to share our faith. We think that we're not important enough, significant or prominent enough for someone to pay attention to us. For we know that we are not perfect people, so no one would ever listen to us. And I think Peter was having that same identity crisis, the same one that Moses had and the one that we have. For you see, when Jesus told the disciples what was going to happen to him, Peter protested. Now, he might have been doing so because he feared that he himself was going to be inadequate, that he would be unable to continue with Jesus gone from his physical sight. And if we're honest, don't we feel that way sometimes? That feeling that leaves us feeling little, Well, I've got news for you. You are worthy. Jesus died for you and for me. Not because we were prominent, but because we've sinned. And so if we were that valuable, that Jesus would die for us, then we are important. Important enough for you to answer the question, who I am. You are a child of the living Jesus who lives in you and among you. And we are called to be the unseen Jesus for others by how we love and how we act. And you see that when you leave yourself, when you get outside of yourself to do that, to share God's love with others, and then you come back, you'll find yourself transformed. And the biggest transformation might be that the way that you saw yourself was merely an illusion. You're far more significant than the people you see in the mirror or in your mind. You're a child of God, a follower of the risen Jesus, called to love and share yourself with others, with your words and with your deeds. That's who you are. Amen.